بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made differences in the ways that we could reach to Him. He hasn't made it one hard and fast that you have to follow to this system and then will you progress. And this differences really is a rahmat, it's a mercy. اختلاف أمتي رحمة واسعة. These differences really is a mercy for this ummah. They are the differences in the temperament as we notice. We see differences in temperaments. And when there are differences in temperaments, then each one will desire something that is more comfortable, something that is more manageable to himself. In food also we have differences of taste. Someone prefers coffee, someone prefers tea, someone likes it hot, someone likes it mild. So you get this type of differences, and Allah Ta'ala has made a provision, has made some type of an accommodation for all these type of differences. Then you find in the Imams, there are four Imams. Here again Allah Ta'ala has made a provision for the temperaments. One is following Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and then the other is following Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, and so forth and so on. Then in Tasawwuf also, in this field also, you will have different Imams. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, then Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi, Bahauddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, then you get the Naqshbandi Silsila. All's aim is the same, the purpose is the same, to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have adopted different means to reach up there. Whether it is the Naqshbandi, whether it is the Chishti, both's aim and both's goal is to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the approach they have adopted is different. And these approaches that they have adopted was based upon their experience and in their zamana. So one has used one approach, one has used another approach, and the approach that they have adopted, they found that to be the most efficient. And then Allah Ta'ala had accepted them, and on account of that acceptance, you see, now these silsilas and these different groups, they move up till this day. Right? Overall, our mashayikh, when they give ijazat and when they give permission, then they give permission in all the four silsilas. So the person who's been given ijazat in our system, he has the permission to work on all the four different silsilas. He can work on the Naqshbandi order, he can work on the Chishti order, he can work on the Sahrawardi order, the Qadri order, he can work on all four. Because he's been allowed to do so, he's got the permission to do so. When we say that the approaches are different, that means the law is still the same. They didn't change the law, they didn't mutilate the Sharia law. One should make his mind very clear that when we say tasawuf, then tasawuf is nothing different to the Sharia. If the tasawuf is against the Sharia, then it is rejected. The criteria and the standard will be the Sharia. And if anything moves away from that benchmark, then it will be rejected. you will not accept it. No matter who it is and who said it, and when he said it, that will not be taken into consideration. We will reject it. Why? Because the Sharia is the benchmark. In the Naqshbandi silsila, you will find that there is a lot of meditation that goes on. Now, what when we say meditation, what do we refer by meditation? What do we refer to? Meditation means that you engage your mind in a thought that will lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You engage your mind in a thought that will lead you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's called meditation. For example, one person engages his mind in the thought of death. Someone engages his mind in the thought of the qabr. Someone engages his mind on the thought of reckoning. Right? So this is called muraqabah. And this is called tawajjuh. And this is proven from the hadith in the Quran that you should be meditating. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Wattaqullaha inna allaha khabirun bima ta'amalun. So the first command is taqwa, and we had spoken about taqwa in some detail this morning. And the second command, wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. And each soul should see what he has sent forth. That's the second command. So, that's what we will say, muhasaba and accountability. That you're seeing now what you have sent forth. You're accounting for yourself. That have I sent the right thing? Have I sent the wrong thing? What have I sent forth for myself? Tomorrow I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala will take a decision for Jannat or for Jahannam, whatever the decision be. But I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow. So I have to take an account, I have to take stock of myself. Am I going in that direction? Am I in the credit balance, or am I going insolvent? What am I doing? That's all stock taking. That's accountability all about. When we talk about stock taking, we talk about accountability. What is it all about? Whether you're in the red or you're going right. Right. That's all stock taking, that's all accounting all about. Right. Whether you're going on the right, whether you're going on the red, you need to tighten up some place, you need to correct yourself, you need to take some corrective measures. Right. So this is called muhasaba. And muhasaba is also something that he's emphasized. Then the third command is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala sees all that you do. He knows all that you do. He is fully acquainted with all that you do. So when Allah Ta'ala says that He is fully acquainted with what you do, then what is He implying? He says, I am seeing, I am watching what you do. I know what you do. I am fully acquainted with what you do. When He is conveying you this message, then what is He alluding towards? What is He implying? He's implying that you need to take care. You need to take care of yourself because I'm watching you. So this taking care of yourself, this is called muraqabah. You're meditating that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. When Allah Ta'ala knows what's going on, He knows what I'm doing, right? Then the type of precautionary measures that I need to adopt, that He's watching me all the time. Nothing is sealed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is closed from Him. Everything is before Him. So when everything is before Him, then the type of precautionary measures that I need to adopt. Okay. Now this is the message in إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And this one single verse, it proves the entire tasawuf. The whole tasawuf comes in this one single verse. إِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ فِي اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. People generally feel that tasawwuf is, some person feels that it is just reading some tasbih. Some person feels, well, tasawwuf is just meditation. So, the one that thinks like this, really, he's misunderstood the whole thing. The whole thing is that you are going to adopt a method that will bring you that amount of taqwa. And taqwa means resistance. You can resist any wrong, but you got the strength to resist, to restrain the wrong. That's all taqwa all about. Mawlana Ismail Sahib, who is the father of Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had come to Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he complained to him, I am aged now, and I haven't learned the tasawwuf as yet. I am aged, and I haven't learned the tasawwuf as yet. So give me something that I may not be deprived of this as well. So Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali asked him, kya aapko sifat ihsan hasil hai? Do you have that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perpetually? When you say consciousness of Allah ta'ala, it means the perpetual consciousness of Allah ta'ala. In namaz, you've got the consciousness. Out of namaz, you've got the consciousness. At home, you've got the consciousness. In the business, you've got the consciousness. At all, at any given moment, you have got the consciousness of Allah ta'ala. And that consciousness is perpetual. Sometimes, when you're in a gathering, you feel the type of consciousness and awareness of Allah ta'ala. Like you're in an istima, or you're in a gathering of good people, then you feel motivated, you feel the consciousness, the presence of Allah ta'ala. So that type of feeling is just subject to that gathering. Once you've left the gathering, then it's gone. It's no more. It's only because of the gathering that you are, that you feel that consciousness, that awareness of Allah ta'ala. Like you in a perfume shop. So in the shop you will feel that your whole body is covered with perfume. And then you leave the perfume shop, then you see, I don't have anything. So really that was not your own. That perfume and that scent wasn't your own. It was on account of the environment that you felt scented all around. Right? So similarly you feel the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. You feel the motivation and drive to Allah Ta'ala on account of a gathering. So this feeling is not of your own. It is the feeling of the gathering. It's not your own. Now that feeling of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala must become perpetual. Not only in namaz. Now, or as someone says, now I've got it in namaz. So there must be some proof that you have got it. All the time you've got it in namaz, out of namaz. There must be some proof. Namaz, he's standing and he's very obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doing everything correctly. But the moment he leaves the masjid, he's using some type of abusive languages. He's insulting. He's allowing his eyes to float around. He's listening to some wrong type of talks, whether on the pavement, whether in his motor car, something wrong, music, etc. he's listening to. So you'll say, now this person hasn't acquired that condition of ihsan as yet. That presence of Allah Ta'ala, that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, he hasn't acquired it. He's acquired it, but partly he's acquired it. So this is not that acquisition that is desired. The acquisition that is desired is a perpetual all the time. At any given time, you have got that feeling, that consciousness, that presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will you act? How will you conduct yourself if you know Allah Ta'ala is watching you? Man that is working in a business, and he is convinced that his superiors, his seniors, are seeing him on CCTV. They're seeing every move of his, they are watching. And according to his performance, they're going to promote him. So how is he going to conduct himself? He knows that he's being watched. He's taped and he's being watched. And according to his behavior and conduct, they're going to give him a promotion. So he's going to be very careful. That I'm going to get a 30% increase subject to my performance. So I need to be very, very particular about my performance. Otherwise, I will lose out 30%. If I'm getting 20,000 rands and 30% I'll get, how much I'll get? He'll be calculating in his mind. So that condition must be in your mind perpetually. Here in the business you are like that, you are still, your consciousness is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any given moment. One person had spent some time in the Jamaat and he had returned. So he called his children. And you see, we have got a jeweler's shop in Makkah, in Medina, Munawwara. We have got jeweler shops, one, two shops we have got. And I've just come and I learned one hadith that when you are scaling, you weighing, then zin warja, you must weigh and give a little more than you're supposed to be giving. Weigh and give slightly more, a gram, 2 grams more. So he mentioned this to his children. Okay, you know, my children, this is what I've heard. That when you are weighing, then you must weigh and give slightly more than what you're supposed to be giving. So the children turned around and they told him, Abba, you know what? This is not tomatoes and onions. This is gold. This is gold. So the father turned around and told, yes, I understand gold, but I am quoting to you the words of one who is more greater than all the gold and all the silver in the world. I'm speaking to you about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is instructed. So they replied, Abba, for that we have got no answer. We hands up for that. We have no answer for that. And we submit entirely. If it is the statement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can't challenge it. We don't want to know the reason why, where. The fact that he said it, we accept it straight away. Now this is that presence of mind. Whether it's in the business, whether it's out of the business. In the business now you're watching that a woman came to the shop. Now you've got the presence of mind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you engaging in a conversation? Are you watching her? Whether it is telephonic, whether it is, whether she's before you, are you engaging in a conversation? So if the one is who's got the presence of mind at heart, then he's not going to do these things. He knows that I am being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't do this. Okay. So this is that first lesson in tasawwuf. The first lesson in tasawwuf is taqwa, restraint, without which you can't progress. Okay. Wrongly, many a times people begin to feel tasawwuf is, someone feels it's just a zikr. Someone feels that they must listen to some naat and nazam. Someone feels must do some sima and kawali. So this is the type of weird understanding they have. Some people feel, no, you must go and present yourself at the qabr. So this is all tasawuf all about. Whereas it's got no truck with tasawuf. Tasawuf is standing for taqwa. If you got that, then you got tasawuf. So we are speaking of Mawlana Ismail Saad Rahmatullah Alayh. And Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah had asked him that, do you have this feeling of the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala at all times, at any given time? Have you got His consciousness? So he says, Alhamdulillah, on account of the Masnoon Duas and my being committed to reciting the Masnoon Duas, then I've got this condition, I've got this perpetual feeling all the time that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. This Masnoon Duas, they may sound to be simple. We read the Tasbihat after Namaz, then the Istighfar that comes after Namaz, then the Masnoon Duas that come after Namaz, for example, Allahumma Anta Salam, Uminka Salam, etc. Then the Duas that are recited as you enter the Masjid, you leave the Masjid, as you go into the toilet, come out of the toilet, as you enter the home, come out of the home, as you enter the bazaar, as you're going into a journey and you're returning, all these respective duas, says, I'm very, very committed and I read it with full concentration. If it is Subhanallah I'm reading it with full concentration. I've got the presence of mind of the purity and the greatness, the perfection of Allah Ta'ala. He's perfect in every respect, Subhanallah. In every respect, He's perfect. there isn't any deficiency in him. Man is limited to time, is limited to space, he's limited to a lot of things, a lot of limitations he's got. If he's hungry, then he will require the services of hundreds of people for his satisfaction. He will need the farmer, he will need the land, he will need the wholesaler, the retailer, the tiller of the soil, the producer of that weed, the producer of that flower. Then he will require the service of the baker, he will require the person who will shift, who will remove or separate the chaff from the weed. So hundreds of people he will require, just for that one morsel of food. Therefore, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about Isa alayhi salam, so when he negates the claim of the Christians that Isa alayhi salam is God, so Allah Ta'ala says it very, very straight, very clearly, very simply, very simply. He says, Isa alayhi salam, or the mother of Isa alayhi salam that you people take as God or God's mother, both of them used to eat food. Kana ya'kulani ta'am. Right? And a person who is in need of food, then he requires the services of hundreds of people. Like I said, the farmer, the tiller, the producer, the manufacturer, the seller. Then the person that will make the bread for you, the atta for you. Then, after you have taken it, then you require a toilet. You require to pass out, you require the toilet, all that. So the one that takes food, he requires the services of hundreds of people. So the one that is dependent on the service of hundreds of people, can he be independent? He can't be independent. Allah Ta'ala is one who is independent. Allah Ta'ala, if everybody depend on Allah Ta'ala, and he is totally independent. When Allah Ta'ala is totally independent and everything depends on him, then how can they be God? If they require, for their survival, they need people, for their continuity, for them to be sustained, they need someone. Can they be God? Can't be God. God sustains. He is not sustained. Allah Ta'ala sustains. He doesn't need to be sustained. And when Isa alayhi salam or his mother needed to be sustained, then how could they be God? So in one statement, Allah Ta'ala demolish all the argument. Everything is gone. Finish. Kana ya'kulani ta'am. Just look how beautifully Allah Ta'ala said it. They needed food. So when you need food, then you need hundreds of agencies. Anybody that is in the food line, you will know all the different agencies that you require. Until you come to that final end where you got that one morsel of food, you're taking it to your mouth. How many people's efforts you require? You require the rain, you require the clouds, you require the wind, you require the sun, you require so many people's work, so many people's efforts involved. You require manure, you require fertilizer, you need to till the soil, you need to shift, or you need to separate the chaff from the weed, you need to then ground that weed, then you need to bake the thing, then how many processes that go until you get that last morsel to put into your mouth? Kana ya'kulani ta'am. So he says, Alhamdulillah, I've been reciting all these masnoon du'as for the respective occasions. And I've been doing it with the presence of mind. If I'm coming into the masjid, then with the presence of mind, Bismillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. In the name of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, Allah Ta'ala, with your assistance and with your blessings, with your assistance and your blessings, I'm entering the masjid. Imagine the presence of mind that he's got. And with durood and salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my salutations and peace be upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's got the presence of mind that this salawat and salam is being conveyed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through the malaika. So with that presence of mind, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi wa la tarddu, forgive my sins. I've been outside and I've been doing wrong things. Perhaps I was neglectful of your remembrance. Maybe I was not totally aware of you when I was outside. Right? So Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me for what I've done in the past. Maghfir li dhanbi waftah li abwaab rahmatik. And Allah Ta'ala, open to me the doors of your mercy. So you're entering the masjid, in that presence of mind, that sense, that presence of mind. Open for me your doors of mercy. Are you coming into the masjid, coming very gracefully, you've made wuzu, coming with the first serve, as though you are a beggar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how you're coming. So if a person is going to conduct himself all the time like this, won't he have the presence of mind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any given time? He will have the presence of mind. At all times, Allah Pak will be before him. When Allah Ta'ala is before him, is it possible for him to do wrong, to cross the lines with Allah Ta'ala? Can he do anything wrong? He can't. It's impossible. Like I say, if someone is taping you on that CCTV, then is it possible for you to do wrong? You can't do wrong. You'll be very, very cautious, very careful of yourself. That CCTV is still dur ki baat. If you know that someone has got a camera there, and the fine will be nothing less than 50,000 rand, will you exceed the speed limit? Will you exceed the speed limit? So that 50,000 rand is so much in your eyes, that no, for miles in advance, I know that's the camera that's placed there, and I can't exceed the limit. So you're so cautious. 50,000 rand, and the whole world is a scrap before Allah Ta'ala. Not even a wing of a mosquito. So then how can you exceed the limit with Allah Ta'ala? When you couldn't exceed the limit here, just for that scrap, then how could you ever exceed the limit with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that is the presence of mind, and that is what is taqwa all about. Consciousness of Allah Ta'ala all about. So this feeling must be constant, must be all the time, continuous. There mustn't be an interruption of this feeling. This feeling must be there all the time. You in namaz, you got that feeling. You out of namaz, you still have that feeling. That feeling must be deeply rooted into you, deeply rooted into you. When it's deeply rooted into you, then you can't commit a wrong. Even if you are in the presence of your family, your wife and your children, then too you can't go wrong. This feeling is so deep. Now if you're, for example, your family is engaging in some ghibat, no, but just hold on there. Just hold on there. Or the child wants to see some television, something wrong he wants to do. No, just hold on. I love you, you're very dear to me, but this is the limit, we can't go beyond this. For whatever it costs, but we can't go beyond this. So when a person has got that conscious, that presence of mind, then he can't do wrong. And he's got the real meaning of taqwa. He's got the meaning of ihsan. Right? So the Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah told him, since you have got this level of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't require tasawuf. You don't require it. Because you've got what tasawuf is already speaking about, you've already got it. So you don't require it. And if you say that you need to acquire this, then it is like a person who can already recite the Quran Sharif fluently. Fluently is reciting the Quran Sharif. But he didn't go through the system like we have. You know, you got Yassan al-Quran, part 1, part 2, or Qaida Baghdadi, whatever we have in place. So he says, you know, I didn't go through the system, though I can recite the Quran Sharif with Tajweed, etc. But I didn't go through the system. So I want to go through the system. So what will you tell him? You'll tell him, no, it's a wasted effort. It's a wasted effort because that was just a means to the end. That Yassan al-Quran or that Qaida Baghdadi, etc. was just the means to the end. The real end is the recitation of the Quran Sharif. When you've got the end, then what's the need to go through all these means? You have to go through these means if you don't have that. But you've already got it, then what's the need to go through these means? One person is in Makkah Mukarrama, and you are here, right? Both's aim is to go to the Kaaba Sharif. The one is in Makkah, and the one that is in South Africa. Both's aim is to go into Kaaba Sharif, right? So, you traveled from South Africa, and you went up. So you saw the airport, you went to Dubai airport, and you saw the different type of thrills and frills and all that. And then eventually, you came to Makkah, and you came to the Kaaba Sharif. Now you explain your friend Makkah Mukarrama, you know, that experience to Makkah, you know, you go see the Dubai airport and so many things you see, and this is important. You see this type of shops, and what experience you go on the plane, you know, the type of service that you get, and how high you fly, and all that exciting stories you're telling him. So the person in Makkah Mukarramah says, "Hey, but I lost out, man. I didn't see all these things." What do you tell him, bhai? You tell him that the goal is the Kaaba Sharif. You've got the Kaaba Sharif, so you don't have to undertake the journey. There's people like us who need to undertake the journey, who will have to go through the means who are not there. But those people that are already there, do they need to take this means? They don't need to adopt this means. Okay. So the Ngoi Sabrahma told him that there's no need for you to go through this whole passage, because you already reached it. So the whole idea is this taqwa, is this resistance. That you hold, can you hold yourself? To what extent should you hold yourself? This is the whole idea. Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, rahmatullah, I just want to relate one incident of his. Then at least we get an understanding of taqwa, you know, the presence of Allah Ta'ala at all times. So he went to study in his zamana, he went to study in Delhi. In that zamana, you're talking of 150, 200 years ago, they didn't have boarding facilities, etc., like they have nowadays. So, people or the teacher that was in charge, he would take care of your food. So, Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah had come in, and his ustad, his teacher, had taken care of his food. Perhaps it was Shah Ishaq Sahib or Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah. And they had taken care of his, they made all the arrangements for his food. Anyway, after a day or two, the wife complained to the ustad that this new student that came in, what's wrong with him? He came for comfort and luxury, or has he come here to study? So Shah Sahib asked, the husband asked, so what's wrong in him? What's wrong in him? You say that he's come for luxury and for comfort. Do you see anything wrong in him? He says, no. When I sent the food to him, so he ate the roti, he ate the bread, and he left the curry. He didn't eat the curry. I did for the first day, second day, third day. First day perhaps he wasn't feeling well, but second day also he did the same. Third day he didn't, I must make chops for him, and I must do chips for him, and I must make steaks for him, and I must make fries for him, then will he eat. So Shah Sahib Rahmatullah, the ustad, tells the wife, you shouldn't be jumping to conclusions. There must be some reason why he left that curry. There must be some reason why he left the curry. Before we can find out from him, we shouldn't jump to conclusions that he came for a good joy time here. You know. So in the quiet, he went and asked the student, what happened? The food isn't right. Are you managing with the food? Is there something wrong? Must we add some flavors or some masalas? What's wrong? So the student said, you see, I said, the problem is this, that in this food they have used amchur. Amchur is something that they get from mangoes. Like, you know, in the food, to get a tingy feeling, you put tomato or something, or this tamarind, etc. So some places, in place of tamarind, they use some mango extract from a green mango to get that type of a bitter taste, you see. So in this food, in the preparation, there was this mango extract, which is called amchur, right? And the way mangoes are sold here is not in accordance to the Sharia. In this whole Delhi, how mangoes are sold, it's not conforming. And the way it is sold is before the crop can appear, actually, the farmer, he sells the whole crop, the owner of the land. I am the owner of this 50 acres of mango trees. So I will sell away the crop for 5 years in advance. So obviously when I sold it for 5 years in advance, the mango hasn't yet appeared. It hasn't yet appeared yet. So what have you sold? See? The purchaser, he is taking a risk. Say for example, for all that 5 years nothing appeared. Isn't it a total loss? See? It's a big loss that he's incurred. That he's bought the whole crop for the next 5 years. And for the 5 years nothing came. So didn't he take a risk? Took a big risk. This is like a game of chance. But he's bought something in advance. It hasn't yet surfaced. It hasn't yet come, and he's purchased it already. Right. So now this is not in accordance to the Sharia. When it's not in accordance to the Sharia, now this mangoes are coming onto the table via this route. See, the mangoes are sold in advance before they can actually appear. So really, that sale wasn't recognized in the Sharia. When it wasn't recognized in the Sharia, so this is not in keeping with taqwa. When it's not in keeping with taqwa, if I'm going to eat this type of food, this is going to get into my system, then this is going to mislead me, it's going to take me wrong. It's not going to take me to the right direction, it's going to take me to the wrong direction. The motivation will be wrong, the thinking will be wrong, my understanding will be pervert, my reasoning will not be right, everything will go wrong in me. From my reasoning, to my understanding, to my action, to my deed, to my behavior, everything will go wrong in me. Because what I've taken is wrong. When I've taken the wrong, then my behavior will be wrong, my conduct will be wrong, my understanding will be wrong, my vision will be wrong, everything will be affected. So I don't want to affect all these things here. I rather stay hungry for that day. I may just content myself on the bread, leave alone the curry, etc. Because this is now doubtful. Right? This is the ingredient that was used. When this was the ingredient that was used, so it's doubtful. When I'm going to take that doubtful morsel, then my whole system is going to go corrupt. So why must I chance? Why must I take this chance? So Shah Sahib heard this. He was very, very impressed. Said, Mashallah, we haven't got a student here. We've got a farishta here. This is a level of taqwa that he's come. He's starting off, and this is a level of taqwa that his parents have initiated him with. So alhamdulillah, his understanding will be great, his reasoning will be excellent, his behavior, his conduct will be excellent. These are the type of students we are looking for. MashaAllah, and Allah has given it on the plate. Now he went and told the wife, see, I told you mustn't jump to conclusions. Allah Pak has sent a farishta to our house. He hasn't sent an ordinary person, he sent a farishta to our house. This is why he's not eating that food. And really, it is something for us to think. I didn't also practice this. The Ustad is saying that really it's something for me to think about. That I'm supposed to be practicing this. I'm supposed to be knowing this. And why didn't I practice this all these years? That the student has come in and he has corrected me. I was doing it wrong and he has corrected me. So isn't it a blessing? So this is all what the tasawwuf is all about. To create the type of resistance from wrong, from things that are doubtful. You know, the hadith says it very clearly. To leave out doubtful areas. فَاسْتَنْزِهُ عَنِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. When you say doubtful areas, what do you mean? Doubtful areas. Someone is saying is halal, and someone is saying is not halal. So there are contradictory proofs. One is saying it's right, one is saying not right. So the best thing is to leave it. People are saying it's the television or CCTV, whatever. Someone is saying it's permissible, someone is saying not permissible. So what's the intelligent thing to do? The wise thing to do is to leave it out. Why? Because if in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were present and this subject had to come up, if you didn't view it at all, right, you won't be counted as a criminal in the law of Allah ta'ala. Right? In the law of Allah Ta'ala, you won't be counted as a criminal. But in the law of Allah Ta'ala, if it was wrong, obviously you would have to give an answer for that. This was wrong, why did you do it? But if you left it out, you saw it was a doubtful area, you kept away. When you kept away from it, right? So will you have to give any answer? You won't have to give any answer. And the Sharia didn't obligate you to go and watch the thing. Did the Sharia tell you, you must see it? You don't see it, then the Qiyamah day, Allah Pak will catch you for it. Did the Sharia tell you that? No, he didn't tell you that. So when Allah Ta'ala is not going to hold you responsible, right, and it's a doubtful area, there are contradictory proofs, someone is saying right, someone is saying wrong. So what is the safest thing? Safest thing is to leave it out. And really, this law here, we apply it in all our dunya matters. In our dunya matters, we apply it. If someone has brought to you, say, a liter of milk, and he says, but you know what, there is a doubt that someone had AIDS, and he just put his finger, the finger was a little bit messed up in his blood, you know, and just touched there. will you have the heart to drink that milk? You will say, oh, it's just a doubt. You're not sure, but are you sure about it? No, I think. But will you have the heart to drink that milk? For whatever it costs, you say, no, please, I'd rather stay without milk for all these days, yeah? But I don't want to interfere with this. Won't you do that? So in your dunya matters, we are so careful for the upkeep and the safekeeping of our bodies. We are so cautious, so cautious. So is our bodies more important than Allah Ta'ala? Is Allah Ta'ala inferior, na'uzubillah, that His law we can just trample and we can just trample His law, break His law and do whatever we want? But our bodies mustn't be trampled. There mustn't be any wrong that's going in our body. So if you've got a respect for Allah Ta'ala and His system, that really, these doubtful areas, just keep away. إِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْدِهِ Your integrity will be guarded, and your deen also will be safeguarded. And the moment you start with these doubtful areas. Today it's a doubtful area, right? You are interfering with that. You are experimenting with a doubtful area. Tomorrow you will be in haram. You're starting off with a doubtful thing, right? If someone says, "Oh, dakha, all right, you know, dakha, all right," is not that haram now, you know, not that haram. Today you experimented with dakha. Tomorrow, then you will be mandrax, then you will be in heroin, you'll be in ecstasy, whatever else. You'll be on that just now. Because you started with this, and you started with this now, you don't see the satisfaction. When you don't see the satisfaction, you'll definitely cross over to that. So you see, these doubtful areas, to leave it out, that's really the essence of taqwa. Really the essence of taqwa. So things that you're not clear about, we're not very sure about, or there are contradictory opinions about, then the safest route is just keep stay away. You'll keep away, you're not going to be answered by Allah Ta'ala. You're not going to lose out. Perhaps some little dunyawi comfort you will lose out. That's the most. But if you try to experiment, then today you are the experiment, tomorrow you're in the haram. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.